Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Guys, this one is for you. Julie Bauke came across a pretty interesting article in the Wall Street Journal. More dads are scaling back at the office for the kiddos and for housework. Look at you, Julie Bauke. Look at you.
Wow.
Look at you. What do you think about this? I'm not that surprised, though. I'm not.
No, I think if you looked at generational numbers, I think the amount of fathers that are actually doing this are concentrated in the younger generations.
And yeah.
So these are not, because I can hear a lot of women right now listening to us going, how about me? How about in my house? Why can't that happen for me? Several years ago, I'm going to say 5 years ago, I spoke to a bunch of young people who were up and comers at their company, who were on the, highly promotable list. And the vast, and I mean vast majority of the men said, I'd rather be a better partner and a better father than to put all my eggs in my career basket. And they were actively doing that. And I thought, this is so refreshing. And so those folks are in this number. And I think we see when in older generations, a lot of times dads, they gave everything to work and nothing at home. And the kids suffered because of that. And so now those kids have grown up and many of them men are saying, I'm not going to do that.
Mm.
And so and we already know the younger generations are the ones who say, I'm climbing the corporate ladder is not necessarily my goal. I want a more balanced and rounded life. I want to have time to relax and give to my community and those things too, which is a very different perspective than the older generations of men. And so I'm not surprised that they're saying, I don't want to grow up and have my kids. I don't want my kids to grow up and not know me. Like maybe I didn't know my dad. And so that's part of it. But there's also a lot of other things as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. As I was reading through this, I agree with you. I think, first of all, you got to address the elephant in the room. COVID-19, I think, put a lot of things in perspective for people, men and women. Can I work from home? Can I do things more remotely or on a hybrid basis? Just the fear of COVID-19. I mean, look, I know in our family, we lost, my grandmother died from COVID. I know, a lot of people, really, I think were tested certainly in saying, wait a minute, like, are we valuing family or are we valuing the God Almighty buck? And so I think that was certainly a real turning point for America. But I think you're right, Julie. I think there's a lot of not only younger people who are getting on board with this, but I think just generational breaking of I think archaic ways of looking at things, whether it is, oh, I want the involved father, or even in our household. It's funny, but I mean, I hate to say this, but my husband, one of the things he loves most about me is he's like, I love what you do, Melissa. He's like, I love listening to you do interviews. I love how intelligent you are. Like that is one of the things that he's like, I would not want you to stop. Like if I wanted to stop working, my husband would certainly be supportive of it. We'd figure it out. But it's interesting how much we are also not in that dynamic as much as we used to, where it's like the men make the money and they work and the women stay at home with the children. Like there is kind of this, well, actually, I kind of like having a boss girlfriend or a boss wife or a boss woman for our children to look up to. Like at least in our household, that dynamic is very strong. And I think a lot of households are really building up women to also work. I think that has changed an awful lot. That mindset has changed a lot, I think.
It has. It's still in process. There's certainly
totally
many people
who
are trying to yes. drag us back to that.
Yes.
And that's not going to happen because women are graduating college at a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that is also really part of this is when you look at, some of the real reasons behind it, it's also the cost of childcare is such that it makes it really hard for even one, for two careers. And so in a lot of cases, both partners are saying, where can we cut back? How can we flex? I mean, I talk to people all the time who say, she works this type of shift, I do this. We have managed our work life and our schedules so that it minimizes our childcare costs. And in some cases, takes it off altogether. And so sometimes it's just by need, by necessity. And you're right, because this has really happened since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the study found that men with degrees and young kids slashed work by 6 hours a week on average and increased childcare and housework by 4 hours a week on average. However, mothers still spend 15 hours a week or more on sort of that unpaid labor. And
totally.
So it's creaking along. But I do think a lot of that is, I really don't want to, you know, the type of culture that said, you let your wife handle all that and we, you know, you're ours, 16 hours a day or whatever, is going by the wayside. There are still cultures out there. And I talk to people, both men and women, who, when they interview in a culture like that, where you can tell it's, you know, you're nose to the grindstone and expected to be available 24/7, they voluntarily pull themselves out of that kind of situation or culture before they even get to the offer stage, because they look around and say, can I or do I want to live like this?
Mm.
And the answer is increasingly no. And so I think that pendulum that is constantly swinging is finding its place to land and will continue to do so as the younger generations just have a different set of values and priorities. And although we can clutch our pearls and wring our hands and say nobody wants to work, that is way oversimplification of what's going on. It's also not true. It's just they don't want to work like we did. And that's not necessarily
a bad
wrong
thing. I'm curious, Julie, and I have to ask this because, to your point, I still think we have a long way to go to equality between men and women, despite I do think we've made some strides. I do. I feel it. I feel it in my own household. I feel it in our community. I think it's great. However, do you think, on average, workplaces are more inclined to say, oh, you want to do kind of more remote work, or you want to work hybrid because you want to be more involved with your kids? I love that, to dads or to men, versus if a woman is saying, I need to be able to leave early because I've got to get my kid to an appointment, or I got to get to this. And there's this idea of, oh, well, then you can't manage. Is that dynamic still a thing or no?
So when we look at things like paternity leave, when you look at the companies who offer time off, paternity leave, men are much less likely to take it because there's still this idea that you are less than if you have to help your wife, if you really want to take time off to do this, you're not committed. And so there's a lot of times some unexpressed but very present pressure to not take it if you really care about your career.
Right.
And
okay, so that's still a thing.
It is, but you know what's happening is every day, you know, this is an interesting stat. 1 in 4 workers right now are 55 and over in the market, which I thought was fascinating. But as that number changes, as people retire, become disabled, die at the top of the age range, it's filled by Gen X and then Gen Alpha, who had a very different idea of what work should look like. That's why I've been saying forever that regardless of how many return to the office full-time orders we get, hybrid is still the future. In fact, in every return to the office mandated environment there is still hybrid going on there. We just don't hear about it. So hybrid's here to stay, flexibility's here to stay, and really that understanding of a full life is really what Gen Z has been, you know, has been pushing for. And we don't have to like it because they're going to be running organizations. And so it's not as boomers, and I'm always saying I'm a boomer, become less relevant and less in the workforce, our influence is going to wane. And that's just the natural order of things at work. I mean, it's not anything to be scared of.
But it is something to kind of know is still existing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important.
There's a recent article, Wall Street Journal, highlighting that more dads are scaling back at the office for kids and housework. And we're talking with our career strategist, Julie Bauke, about this. Fathers with degrees and young children slashed their time on the job by 6 hours a week and increased their time spent on housework and childcare by more than 4 hours a week, according to an analysis of federal time use data from the think tank American Institute for Boys and Men. I guess my question, Julie, is if you've got a guy listening right now, especially, or even a woman, okay, if you've got somebody working right now and they want to prioritize having the dads more involved or having the dads be able to cut back a little bit, what do you suggest they do? You know, especially if you're in a workplace where maybe it's not even that they don't like it, but maybe they don't recognize that this is a priority. How do you address without kind of putting your job at jeopardy that, hey, I want to take that time off and not feel badly about it, or I want to be able to work with you and stay in this job, but be able to still prioritize my children or my wife's needs? What do you suggest they do?
Well, first of all, this is not about saying, I want to go from 40 to 35 hours. This might be, you might be already working 50 to 60 hours. So it might be, how do I not overwork? How do I shut everything down an hour sooner? So this isn't about going part-time. It's about taking a look at where and how you're spending your time and figuring out, can I cut back? Can I do things differently? Can I delegate? What can I do without going and talking to my leader and just saying, you know, in other words, how much of this problem is a me problem? I know people like that. It's like one more thing. It's, oh my heavens, working on vacation, blah, blah, blah. Really, and it's not because in some cases the organization expects it. It's because you're on the treadmill trying to hang on to your job because you think it's at risk. Or, you know, and sometimes it is because you've got people around you who aren't doing the work, and so you pick up the slack for them. So I would say the way to start is to start by really taking a look at your work week, maybe for a week. Measure how many hours per day you're really working over 40 plus hours a week. And then saying, can I cut out half an hour here? Can I cut out a half an hour there? What sort of boundaries can I put up for myself? And so I think start with yourself. I mean, I know a lot of, especially some young people, some millennials especially, who are working incredible hours, who in some cases it's just about putting boundaries up for yourself. Start there. And then take a look at the person you report to. What kind of are they a person who has hobbies and things they do outside of work? Or are they a person maybe whose kids have grown? And in that case, you can approach that with look, my kids are young. We have two careers going on. I'm very committed to this job. But I wanted to let you know that when it comes to dinner time, when it comes to evening time, my kids have a lot of activities and I really want to be fully present for them. And if you get anything other than, I think that's a great idea, or then I think you just need to, am I working in the right organization or for the right leader? You have one chance to live your life as a young person, to see your kids when they're young. And I know this more than any lately. Do not give it all to an organization that would replace you in a heartbeat if they decided they could live without you. And that's, I can't emphasize that enough. And that's one of those things that we kind of learn late.
Mm.
Wait a minute. They laid me off. They kept telling me how valuable I was. Then they laid me off.
Right.
They didn't give me any proof.
Well, I do think, I mean, so to that point though, Julie, so the other side of it, right? If you are an employer and maybe you don't realize that there are ways that you could support somebody, you know, that's working for you right now. You know, what do you suggest they do to kind of be more open-minded too? Because, you know, one of the things that we're realizing in the workplace, especially since COVID, is that we're kind of taking a lot of, I'd say, kind of archaic ways of doing business and we're changing them. And we're realizing that, yes, it's a risk and yes, it's kind of scary. You know, change isn't easy for anybody. But what would you suggest an employer to do to be more mindful of this?
The first thing you want to do is ask yourself, what example am I setting? So am I that leader who's texting my people or emailing my people at all hours? And what I'm doing, even if I say to them, don't expect you to respond right away, they will, because they may or may not believe you. So what example are you setting? Do you have boundaries? Do they see you living a healthy life outside of work? In other words, or are you always the last one out and the first one, last one offline and the first one online? If you are doing that yourself, stop it. Or at least be really honest with your people and say, look, this is just my kids are grown, or, you know, I'm living by myself. This is where I'm putting my effort right now. But I understand that you have either a spouse that works and or children at home. I do not expect this from you. So what are your actions saying and what are your words communicating? So start with yourself. And sometimes just say, look, I get it. I expect you to do a great job. I expect you to work hard. We have a lot of goals that we're trying to reach as a team. But I also expect you to set boundaries for yourself. And so if you're one of those, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're sorry that your kid has this play tonight, but we've got to get this done. I mean, that is a very, very short-term way to keep your people, because your good people aren't going to put up with that and they're going to leave. So start with yourself, then take a look at the rest of the culture, what your policies are, what you're rewarding, and how can you make it a healthier environment for people to come and stay. And that's what you want, the best people to come and stay because they feel valued. That's the bottom line. And that allowing people to live their whole lives, but still expecting them to hit reasonable goals, is the best way to do that.
Well, Julie Baalke, always appreciate that we can kind of dive into, especially these articles that are highlighted at a national level, and then, you know, kind of work through them and give advice. I always appreciate you giving us the time here on WICC. Thank you so much. We'll see what pops up next week when we have you back on the show. Career strategist Julie Baalke right here on WICC.